All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Good morning and blessings to everyone. You're probably wondering about the different sound of voice. Today we have something awesome for you. My name is Courtney Hickman, and I am the son of Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. And so I get the opportunity to fill in for him today, and what an honor that is in being his son to be able to do that. And I pray everyone that is listening today that your hearts are expectant to hear a word from God, that your heart is expectant for God to speak mightily through His Word. And so let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank You for this moment, for this opportunity to be in Your Word, to hear from You the things that You want to speak, the things that You want to reveal. So, Father, we pray that all hearts and minds are receptive to what You want to speak to us about today. And, Father, I pray that You would let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto You, for You are my strength, You are my rock, You are my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you would, if you have your Bibles, whether it's on your cell phone, whether you have an actual Bible, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10, particularly in verse 25. Actually verse 38, we'll go there. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And I'll go ahead and start reading. It says, while they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who was also at the Lord's feet and was listening to what the Lord said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken from her. As we look at this passage here, and it's a very interesting passage, and I always like to look at the nuances of Scripture. I like to pay attention to everything that's around. Jesus is traveling, and he enters a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. You know, it's interesting because we welcome Christ into our life. We welcome Jesus into our life. And from a standpoint of what was customary at that time, from a standpoint of what was necessary at that time, from a standpoint what was required of her at that time, is whenever a guest enters your home, you are to serve them. You are to take care of them. You are to show them hospitality. And that's what she was doing. It said, her and Mary are there, and people enter your home, you're supposed to serve them. And says she had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. Verse 40 is very key. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked the Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. One of the nuances of this passage, and there's quite a few here, and I encourage you, whenever you look at the Word of God, that we get into a posture of ready to patiently hear from God, that we just don't read fast because we learned how to read in the first grade and we can articulate and move on. But that we actually pause, that we actually take the time to see everything that is happening there. Because God doesn't speak or talk just to hear himself say words. Everything is meaningful. Everything says something. So what's interesting is Martha is here and she's serving and she's doing what's customary. She's doing what's correct. She's showing hospitality. Jesus is in her house. You can imagine the guest of all guests. Many of us growing up when company would come over, we would, make sure the floors are vacuumed. We would make sure things are in order because company is coming over. Someone's coming to visit. And when they got there, you better be on your best behavior. Make sure you, whatever they need, you take care of them and give them what they need, what they desire. You make sure that your guests were well taken care of. And Martha was doing a phenomenal job at that. But notice the text has said that all of that was a distraction. All the many tasks that she was doing distracted her. What did it distract her from? It distracted her from Jesus. And before I continue to dive into this, I have a question for everyone listening. And here's a question to ask yourself. The question is, who wants to do something great for God? And I'm going to pause for a minute and kind of let that question marinate. Who wants to do something great for God? Now, as you're letting that question marinate, I would imagine that most people would say, yes, I want to do something great for God. Well, let me follow that up with a question and another one. What can you do for God? Because he's already great. What is there that we can do for him? I want you to think about that. Think of our human state. Think of his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What can you do? What can I do for God when he's already great? I think it's not necessarily a question or a correct question is who wants to do something great for God. But I think more so, who needs something great done in them? Because we can look at it from a standpoint that I want to do something great for God. We can be like Martha in a place of gratefulness that we invited Christ into our life. God is in our life. And out of gratefulness, we want to serve Christ. We want to do something for him. We want to show him our gratefulness. But honestly, the great work that needs to happen is on the inside of us. And look at this scripture here, because it says Martha was distracted by her many tasks and she came up and asked the Lord, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Pay attention to that phrase, serve alone. Mary, distracted by all of her tasks, distracted by all of the things that she's trying to do for Jesus, it started to put her in a place of isolation. Isolation begins on the inside before it manifests on the outside. Notice she's at her own home, right? There's no place like your own bed. There's no place like your own pillow. There's no place like your own couch, but she's in her own home. And she is also not only in her own house, in her own home, but yet she's also with people that love her. She's surrounded her sisters there. I can imagine maybe other family members are there, people from the community or the people that know her. She's in her home. She's surrounded by people that love her. And watch this. Even Jesus himself is sitting there on her couch, is sitting in her living room. And she says, "Don't you care that my sister has left me alone? I'm doing all of this work. I'm doing all of this serving. And my sister has left me alone." Watch this. "I don't even see you, Jesus." Many of us can say, as long as I got Jesus, I'm all right. But could we sometimes get to a place of busyness, a place of distraction, a place of doing all of these things that even when Jesus himself is sitting right in front of us, Jesus himself is sitting before us, and we're at the place that I don't even see you. Notice she said, "I'm all alone. My sister has left me alone to serve. Now pay attention to this next thing. So tell her to give me a hand. Let's not rush past that. Tell her to give me a hand. It said that Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus responds, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice and it will not be taken from her. Mary seemed to understand that it's not necessarily something I can do for him or give him. It's something I need to get from him. It's something that I need to receive. I need the great work done on the inside of me. There's really nothing I can do great for Jesus, for God. There's nothing really great that I can do. He's great all by himself. And based on that, I am still the work in progress. I am still the one who needs the great work finished in me, the great work happening on the inside of me. And so she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's receiving everything that he's teaching. She's receiving her breakthrough. She's receiving her healing. She's receiving a word. She's receiving all of these things that we desire to receive from. She's getting all of these things. And Martha shows up and she's angry. She's bothered. And she says, I've been left all alone to serve. And then she does this, which is crazy. But if you were standing in her shoes, she probably wouldn't view it this way. She said, listen, because we got all of these things to do, I need to take you away from Jesus. Come help me. I'm going to pull you away from Christ. I'm going to pull you away from your miracle. I'm going to pull you away from your breakthrough. I'm going to pull you away from So tell her to come help me. Tell her to leave the feet of Jesus. Tell her to leave the thing we're going after, the person we're going to leave that and come be with me. And Jesus responds, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken from her. As we look at this passage and are unpacking this, I'm just kind of issuing just a bit of a look in the mirror for a moment. And I get it, you have your calling, you have your anointing, you have all of these things. I'm not minimizing those things. But could it be a moment in your life that I might need to sit at the feet of Jesus? Because only one thing is necessary. Only one thing is necessary. And Jesus says that will not be taken from her. Matter of fact, it says that Mary has found that one thing and it will not be removed from her. You know, it's interesting as we think about this necessary thing, this one thing that Jesus was talking about. There's someone else who also alluded to the one thing. If we jump over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. There's someone very, as we would say, powerful, the Apostle Paul, in one of his letters to the Philippians, the church of Philippi. I love this particular letter because it was one of the letters that was actually written while Paul was in prison. And he's given an example of the one thing. So many other things he could have been doing. He could have been writing letters to the Senate, writing letters to the ones that can maybe get him released because he wasn't supposed to be in there in prison. But yet, he is still focused on the necessary things. And verse 12, we hear it a lot, but not that I've already reached the goal or I'm already perfect, or some version says have already apprehended, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us all who are mature think this way, and if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Therefore, end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. They are focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables us to subject everything to himself. Not that I've already reached a goal, or I'm already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I have also been taken hold of by Christ. Paul talks about even the one thing, this one thing that I do, this one thing that I do. I want to encourage everybody, even as they're listening to this, as you look at the dynamics here between the two stories here, the one is a letter and one is the story of Mary and Martha. What is the most important thing? You doing something great for God, or God doing something great in and through you? Let's jump over to Ephesians. And I know you love being in his word, because if you're tuning in every time to Straight From His Word, I know you love being in his word. I'll go ahead and read the entire thing, beginning of verse chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which previously lived according to the ways of the world, according to the ruler of the power, the air, the spirit, now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. We were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You were saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens with Christ Jesus, so that the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. I'm going to say that one more time. We are his workmanship. So the great work that needs to happen, this great thing that needs to come to fruition, is the great work that Christ is looking to complete in us. And based on that, everything else becomes a byproduct. Because as we have the great work done on the inside of us, we begin to live that out. We begin to display that in our relationships, in our community, in our walk, in our anointing, in our calling, in our preaching, in our teaching, in our singing. Everything else becomes a byproduct of the great work that has transpired on the inside of us, the work that Christ has done on the inside of us. So again, sitting at the feet of Jesus to get every single thing that you need, every single thing that you are desiring, every single thing that needs to take place, is that we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. We need to look at Mary and Martha, this parallel here that is taking place between the two. And Mary was not distracted. She found the one thing, and it will not be taken from her. Family, find the one thing, because there's only one thing that is necessary. Everything else from that is the byproduct. Everything else from that is the fruit that you and I produce with our lives, because we allowed Christ to do the great work on the inside of us. I'm praying today that every single one of you that are listening to this, and I call this kind of a look in the mirror moment, out of everything you got doing, and thank you, and you take inventory. That's good. Take inventory. Take a moment to kind of look over your ledger. And is it that you're distracted by all the many things because of you're trying to do something great for God? But remember, He's great all by Himself. There's nothing that you or I can do that can make Him even greater, or it seems to be He's lacking greatness. He's not lacking greatness at all. The greatness that He's desiring is that He wants to do it on the inside of us. And so I challenge you, I encourage you to take that look in the mirror, to sit for a moment and ask God the question, am I distracted by many things? Or am I good to go because I'm sitting at your feet? Have I found the one thing that is necessary? So it's my prayer today, as you heard this, that not only did it impact your ears, your sense of hearing, but I pray that it impacted your spirit, that it impacted every part of you, every being of you, and that you're not just a hearer of God's word, but a doer of God's word. So praying that you're blessed, and that the rest of your week is prosperous, and that you're being obedient to the things that God is asking you to do. And so we're grateful for you being here with us today. Again, thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to share with you. And it is an honor to be here as a son of Dr. Dermothy Lavelle, and grateful to be able to share with you today. So with that being said, may God bless you. May God keep you. May He make His face smile upon you. Oh, by the way, need to let everyone know I am Pastor Courtney Hickman, pastor of Encounter Life Church. You can find us on Instagram, Encounter, encntr.life. You can also find us on Facebook, Encounter Life, encntr.life on Facebook. We gather every Sunday at 10:30, and we get into God's Word. It's our belief that once you have an encounter with Jesus, you have an encounter with yourself, you have an encounter with your destiny, you have an encounter with your purpose, you have an encounter with everything that you need, because we truly believe that everything is in Him. And so God bless you, we appreciate you, and thank you so much for being here with us today, and we will see you next time.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.